Good morning. It's Wednesday, October 28th. Our New Testament reading today is Acts chapters 5 and 6. I'm going to read to you from Brother Harry Whittaker's book, Studies in the Acts of the Apostles. This particular section has to do with chapter 5, verses 17 to 32. I read, "The exasperation and envy of the chief priests at the impressive preaching and healing by the apostles became explosive. The growing popularity of the Nazarene movement, together with the political danger that this enthusiasm might engender, really worried them. They could envisage a popular uprising against the power of Rome, bringing in its train an indescribable trail of ruin and misery, and for themselves an utter loss of authority. So, one evening, as on an earlier occasion which we read about in chapter 4, verse 3, when the apostles were occupied with one of their meetings in Solomon's porch, they were rounded up and locked up in the common prison, but apparently segregated from all the city riffraff who were there. But as dawn approached, they found themselves unexpectedly, or perhaps not so unexpectedly, set free by an angel of the Lord. It has more than once been speculated that this angel was some official who was willing to take risks on their behalf. But whether by human agency or not, God was certainly at work on behalf of the persecuted. More and more, the apostles were being made to realise that divine power was at work to prosper the cause of the Son of God. So, without hesitation, they went into action, as they had been bidden by their deliverer, proclaiming the truth of Christ before the early worshippers soon after sunrise. Meanwhile, a full assembly of the Sanhedrin had been called for a formal trial of the offenders. It consisted of the small but immensely powerful priestly party, the Sadducees, and the more popular majority, the Pharisees. This august assembly was utterly startled by the report that, in spite of locked doors and guards on duty, the prisoners had vanished. The news brought consternation in the minds of all. Was this another of the remarkable signs and wonders which were now always associated with the name of Jesus of Nazareth? They were even more nonplussed when there came word that the very men they were concerned about were at that moment preaching and teaching in the temple court where, the evening before, they had been arrested. What was this but cool effrontery? The temple guard was instructed to arrest the men once again, but in as unprovocative a manner as possible. Any sharply hostile action might well touch off an uncontrollable riot. What was the surprise of the officers when their first mild demand that the 12 attend the Sanhedrin meeting met with immediate compliance? There was no hint whatever of resentment or truculence. "It shall be given you in that hour what ye shall say," their Lord had assured them, and already they knew that this would be true. Standing there before the great semicircle of reverend and influential men, the apostle heard themselves charged with two offences. First, disobedience of the Sanhedrin's earlier strict injunction that they cease their propaganda, and second, that they were losing no opportunity to incite the crowd against their rulers. "You are set on making us responsible for the putting to the death of this man." What a contrast with the cynical shout at the trial of Jesus, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." Now these rulers feared for their own skins. Once again, the confident challenge came back. "Whom ought we to obey, God or men?" You know the answer to that. This is our duty, and we will fulfil it. Thank you for listening.